to our 15 minutes a day segment. Kind of the Guest House Live political segment. Although we're not Republican, we're not Democrat. We're kind of anti-political party. We really just want the best candidates. That's all. We took off last week, but because we just recently redid our whole schedule, we used to start at 6 p.m. Now we start at 7 p.m. So things ran a little bit differently. We had to get used to it, and we cut out a few of our segments last week as we made the adjustment. But that's not to say that this podcast is going anywhere, the Guest House Live podcast or the 15 minutes a day. We just had to rearrange. And if you've been following this specific podcast, the 15 minutes a day one, we've been following the Philadelphia mayoral campaign that's happening this year. It'll be in November. Democratic primary is happening in May, which is coming up very quickly. And it's really just a little bit of selfish reasons. It's really just so that we can get a better understanding of how the political system works and really practice taking a really in-depth look at candidates as they run for office. Because we plan on doing a lot more in 2016 with this political angle. So this is a perfect way to get introduced. So a lot of things happened last week while we took this segment off. I'll see if I can quickly update. I use this Newswork blog called 99 a lot, and it's because it's going to be the 99th mayor of Philadelphia being elected. They do a great job of covering, so I use a lot of their articles for information, and then I look things up on an individual basis. So let me take a look. Some of the things from last week. A couple of the candidates have been releasing these policy papers. I know Tony Williams released an ethics policy paper, which I kind of find a little ironic. I do not trust Tony Williams. When we first, a couple weeks back, you can go back into the podcast history, we went individually each day. We spent 15 minutes of research on each candidate. I mean, we spent a lot more time researching, but you know, for the sake of this segment, we shrunk it down to 15 minutes a day for each candidate. And each candidate seemed to have pros and cons, obviously. But the more and more I did on Tony Williams, the more I'm not feeling him. I don't trust him. There's a couple things that were talked about this past week that will reiterate that feeling. Not to say that I'm really feeling that great about any of them. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping, you know, we'll pick one of these in May, and then hopefully a really strong independent will come out, because there's some strong cons on each one of these. So anyway, and it seems to be that it's really coming down to Williams versus Kenny. At least that's what the television ads seem to pose. I mean, they're the only two who have ads that I've seen so far. And I've actually just today noticed that they're coming out a lot more regularly throughout the day. So let's see. Let's take a quick look at last week. I told you Tony Williams released an ethics policy paper, Governmental and Campaign Ethics, which focuses on transparent, citizen-centered government, enhancing integrity and ethical government standards, and continuing campaign finance reform. Which is funny because he's already been hit with you know, taking way too much money from an individual group. I want to say it was the Carpenters Union. I can't remember exactly offhand, but he got twice as much money from them as they were legally allowed to do. And what happened, from what I understand, that group just got hit with a $1,000 fine, and that was it. He gets to keep the money. It's kind of just swept under the rug. Oh, little slap on the wrist. Ridiculous, if you ask me. So I find it really funny that he's releasing an ethics policy paper involving that. But also, there was an article on Philly.com, Williams' hallmark law most widely used by his supporters. And basically, what it's saying is, his legislative capstone, this educational tax credits program, generated scholarships for tens of thousands of children across the state in the past 14 years. And by the way, I'll put all the links into the description of the podcast if you want to read more about these. Critics are saying that these credits that he created divert tax money away from public schools. It's basically what Governor Wolf has described as a backdoor voucher system that diverts public tax dollars from our public schools. Now, if you've been following along, Williams is, even though he keeps denying it, he seems to be very much pro-charter schools regardless. some of his backers. Three men determined to see Williams become the next mayor are Jeff Yass, Arthur Danchik, and Joel Greenberg. And while they claim they are not driven by financial self-interest, but an ideological commitment to school choice, it's pretty obvious when you start putting this much money in, it's for finance. It's always about the money. I mean, don't be, just be upfront and honest. I mean, it's about money. And I, again, I don't know that charter schools are better or worse than public schools, but I do know that there is a serious, serious issue with public schools in Philadelphia right now, and that needs to be the center of focus before we move on. Charter schools are great. Do we need more charter schools? Not until public schools are fixed. Not until there is balance, because there are good charter schools and there are bad charter schools, and there are good public schools and bad public schools, the same. So until it's fixed or strongly improved, there shouldn't be any more charter schools. Now, if this guy is being backed by, you know, millionaires who are all about charter schools and building charter schools and making money off charter schools, and they put a whole bunch of money into Williams' campaign, you can bet there's going to be more charter schools. And it's a conflict of interest, if you ask me. There's no way around it. So, very, very, very giant red flag for Williams. I don't like it. So, what else happened last week? Rendell came out and said that he is not likely to endorse anyone of these Democratic candidates for mayor, which sounds bad at first, but then he continued to say, because they are my friends, which I don't think that was a very smart thing to say. I mean, really? You're not going to share your opinion of what's going to be better for the city of Philadelphia because you don't want to hurt any of your friends' feelings? Really? Well, thank you. I'm sure we all thank you for that. Milton Street, again, he might be stricken from the ballot. I don't know why it even matters. There is no way in hell he's going anywhere. There's just no way. It's just kind of a joke, so I don't even like spending any time on him. That's basically what you missed last week. Again, there was one more thing. There was a Lynn Abraham made some headlines. Number one, she also released a policy paper regarding public education in Philadelphia. Her plan calls for full fair funding, accountability across the board, standards of excellence. Same thing that everybody else is saying pretty much. But she says if elected mayor, Lynn Abraham would take Harrisburg to federal court if necessary to force lawmakers to adequately fund Philadelphia schools. It's a pretty strong statement. I think somebody else, one of the other candidates, mentioned something along those lines as well. As mayor, I'll take on the state to ensure that our schools get their fair share of funding and will reform city pensions to protect workers while stopping the drain on our budget. There, it goes on and on again. I'll put the link in the chat and also in the description of the podcast. But during one of the events last week, Wednesday night, the candidates were at a forum about gentrification and redevelopment, and there were some tense moments. It's starting to get a little ugly. Williams accused some of his opponents, like Diaz, of stealing his idea to create a municipally owned bank. But at one point, the audience at this Wednesday night forum was applauding Lynn Abraham's comments when Pam Africa, a member of the radical group MOVE, began shouting from the back of the room, calling Abraham a, quote, murderer. Abraham was the judge who, in 1985, signed the arrest warrants for some MOVE members before police dropped a bomb on the group's house in West Philadelphia. That's a like a historical moment in Philadelphia history that is just unbelievably awful, and you should look into it a little bit. We don't have time to do it right now. We've talked about it on the show before. But this is just a couple of the things with Lynn Abraham. Some of the policies I like, I said it a couple times, she made a reference that everyone who smokes marijuana is likely to be involved in other criminal activity or something along those lines. That is just such an old, wrong mentality that is just scary. And it makes me feel like she would make Philadelphia go backwards. And it's not the kind of progressive thinking that the city needs for the kind of change that the city needs. So she, again, I mean, she's not the worst out of all the candidates, but she scares me quite a bit. So those are some of the more major things that were happening in the mayoral primaries last week when we were off. In addition to covering this election, one of the other things we do is just look for other signs of corruption and look to further the idea of transparency in our government. For example, West Virginia Governor Ray Tomlin signed into law a bill that prevents manufacturers from operating their own dealerships. I don't understand the thought process behind that, other than it's going to hurt somebody else from making money and somebody else in a position of power. Like, for example, West Virginia Senate President is also an auto dealer. So this could infringe on his money, and therefore laws have been passed to protect him and not the people. That is a problem. Similar laws have been passed recently in New Jersey and Michigan. The ban in New Jersey was subsequently overturned. So while this could advance our society, I mean, we're talking about electric cars, better for the environment, better for, you know, I know Tesla cars are very, very expensive, but as they get more and more commonplace, they can become more affordable, and then we can have electric cars and not spend so much money on gas. So when I see something like that, it's just very upsetting that, you know, very, very clear as to why that law was passed. Senate president, also an auto dealer, Tesla's banned by West Virginia. It's bullshit. So I'll put this link in the chat room and the description of the podcast as well, because that's just wrong. Something else I saw as well. Well, even though we're all about the Philadelphia area as far as music and everything else, we do most of our work in Philadelphia. We're actually based right over the bridge in Jersey. So one of our senators, Robert Menendez, was indicted on federal corruption charges, including 8 counts of bribery. He denied any wrongdoing and insisted that he is not going anywhere. Allegedly, Menendez accepted gifts from Melgen, who is a Florida medical professional, in exchange for using the power of a Senate office to benefit Melgen's financial and personal interests. Now, I don't know much more about it than that, but I do find it interesting that Jersey struggled to pass medical marijuana, finally got it passed, and it's been basically just shut down, even though it's passed. You can't, it's not moving forward. There's nowhere to, no dispensaries, or there might be one or two. I don't even know if that's true. I'm not exactly sure. But I just find it interesting that, you know, this guy's allegedly accepting bribes from a medical professional to use the Senate power for his financial and personal interests. I wonder if they're related. That's all. So anyway, these are the kind of things we cover in the 15 minutes a day. And we will continue it. I'm sorry for the break last week. We're making some changes within the radio station. And we will continue. We'll continue to cover the mayoral election. And we'll continue to cover anything else. We'll continue to cover the advancement of the social progress index. I think that is extremely important for us as a whole, as a world. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look into it. Social progress index. It's amazing. There's a great TED talk about it as well that really sums it up nicely. So as there's advancements in that, I will fill you in. Another major part of this podcast we like to cover is fair tax. I mean, there has never been tax reform that makes so much sense. And there's a lot of momentum behind this movement right now. And basically, it's removing the IRS, all payroll taxes, all income taxes, removing it all and replacing it with one single consumption tax. So instead of being taxed on money that you make, you're taxed on money that you spend. It makes so much more sense. You should not be penalized for making money in a capitalist society. I mean, it seems so backwards. Instead, you should be taxed for what you consume. It just makes so much more sense. It makes it fair across the board. No matter how much money you make, everybody's taxed the same. And if you operate in illegal activities, under the table, black market type stuff, you're still being taxed. There's no way around it. It eliminates all the bullshit loopholes for the rich, and it's just a perfect system. And there's a lot more to it. There's probably questions that you might have about it. They're all answered. If you look up Fair Tax Official on YouTube, there's tons of answers to your questions. But look into it, support that movement, and you know, let's keep it talked about as we go approach the 2016 elections. Make sure this happens, because if ever there's a chance for this to happen, it's coming soon. It's coming in 2016, because people are ready for a significant change. We need it. So anyway, that's our 15 minutes a day. We'll be back tomorrow.